Welcome to the Millennial Soul Food Podcast. On today's episode 41, we will be speaking with Atlanta-based herbalist, yogi, and diviner, Kira Yogini, aka Ifa Ori Ire. Enjoy. What's up? ¿Qué pasa, mi gente? Before we get into this interview with Atlanta-based herbalist, yogi, and diviner, Kira Yogini, aka Ifa Ori Ire, I wanted to go through and talk about some church announcements. So go and subscribe to my newsletter. I actually just upped the count for the number of emails I can send per month, because I'm really working on building out my emailing list, trying to kind of move away from Instagram and those kinds of social media platforms, just so that I can just deliver spiritual information that's free and keep you updated on the things that are happening with Millennial Soul Food. I also do send out newsletters just about different astrological events that are happening, different tips for spell work, career, money, love, spell work tips. I also send out different types of readings. I send out a lot of information, so just go ahead and subscribe. I have the link below. And be sure that you whitelist the emails also so that they don't go to spam. And that basically involves, if you're using Gmail, that involves using a particular filter. So this filter can be found in settings, and you want to be able to, I had to go look up the directions. So you have to go to Gmail inbox and go to settings and then filters and blocked addresses. And then you have to create a new filter. And that is where you can enter the email address where you get the newsletters from. So then that will make it so that the emails don't go to the spam. So that's it about that. Also, please listen to the episode on the app Spotify for Podcasters, where I'm sponsored. Help your girl out, period. Also, another thing, I am hosting an event. This is a virtual retreat event through Acorn Center for Restoration and Freedom, which is an organization here that's based in Atlanta that prioritizes healing, spiritual arts, and land justice. And so this is going to be a part of like a series. I'm a part of a series for Black August. And this is called the Well Virtual Retreat Center series. So this is going to be for people who identify as Black. And my workshop is going to be on the foundations of New Orleans and Mississippi hoodoo. As y'all know, I'm like fifth or plus generation New Orleanian who's lived there. Lots of roots in New Orleans, lots of roots in southern Mississippi. Y'all know I grew up in Tupelo, Mississippi. Y'all know my history, so y'all already know your girl is qualified, period, baby. So we are going to do a deep exploration into understanding the key differences and also similarities in New Orleans and Mississippi hoodoo. We're not really doing this as a way to set up differences and highlight differences as a way to say one is better than the other, but we're just going through and talking about the different elements that comprise hoodoo in New Orleans and Mississippi, because hoodoo is different all over the country. I am doing this specifically from a New Orleans and Mississippi hoodoo perspective because that is where my family is from, and I have spent the most time in those places doing my hoodoo and working with my particular spirits in that area. Y'all know I lived in New Orleans for almost 5 years, grew up going there for almost every holiday. When I lived in New Orleans specifically, I was, you know, a part of different spiritual groups, still a part of a temple, stuff like that. But a lot of the spirituality that I cultivated was out in nature, at the bayou. It was at the Mississippi River. It was those intimate times of solitary witchitude. Is that even a word? But this is going to be a historical look at New Orleans and Mississippi hoodoo. We're going to look at what the differences between hoodoo and voodoo are. We're going to delve into uncovering sacred connections and rituals associated with these historical and cultural contexts. It was a lot of words, but we're going to be highlighting a lot of different things. We're going to talk about the significance of water. We're going to talk about just different ways that hoodoo is highlighted in music. We're going to talk about the creation of blues, creation of jazz. It's going to be a whole cultural look. So go and register. That's all I want to say. It's free, actually, or you can donate what you can. There's different options. So if you are limited financially in your financial capacity, you can go ahead and you can register. So I'm just letting y'all know that. So, yeah, that is it. Go register for the workshop, whitelist my emails for the newsletters, share the podcast with your peoples, especially listening on Spotify for podcasters. Baby, listen. Okay, so let's get into this interview with Kara Yoghini. I love her so much. She is such a sweet spirit. Kara Yoghini is an Atlanta-based herbalist and diviner here who I actually met through Instagram, funny enough. She's kind of gave me some recommendations on places to go here, different things to do, different places to go and see, to give offerings. So she's really built a name for herself as an herbalist here, and I really enjoyed talking to her. She was so nice and invited me to her Hand of Ifa ceremony, and I got to meet her temple. Great people. Hit her up for her herbal tinctures, for all of it, period. She's amazing. So I hope you enjoy our interview. All right, so we have Kara Yoghini from Ancestrally Rooted Apothecary LLC in the ATL. What's up, Kara?
How you doing?
I'm so good. I'm so glad you're on here.
Thank you for having me. I know when you asked me, I was like, yeah, shoot.
Period. So I'm so glad we finally met in person through the IG streets.
I know, because I've been following you for years on Instagram.
Yes. And then I went to your Hand of Ifa ceremony. Mm-hmm. That was so beautiful.
Thank you for coming. Cool.
So tell me a little bit about Ancestrally Rooted Apothecary.
Okay. So Ancestrally Rooted Apothecary came to me in a dream. I actually been doing readings and teaching yoga since 2015, and my business was up under a different name, and I didn't feel fulfilled with that name or with what I was doing at the time, because I felt like I was supposed to be doing more. I just felt like my calling was much deeper than what I was doing. So I actually took a break from doing readings and teaching yoga to meditate and ask my spirit, like, what is it I'm supposed to be doing? Mm-hmm. Show me what I'm supposed to be doing. So I would read myself with my cards, and I was pulling cards, but I'm like, okay, but I kept hearing herbalist. I'm like, child, wow. I'm supposed to be an herbalist. Like, I don't know anything about herbs. But mm-hmm. I knew I liked taking them, but I felt like I wasn't confident. But I felt like I couldn't do it for other people, only for me and my family. So anyway, last summer, I think it was in June, I went to bed. I'm a big dreamer. So I had a dream, and it woke me up out of my sleep at 5:55 a.m. And what? I heard a voice say, Ancestrally Rooted. I was like,
what?
They gave me two names. The first name was Magically Rooted and Ancestrally Rooted. Mm. So it's like they gave me a choice, like which one you want to choose. Mm. And so I asked my husband, I said, I think my ancestor just gave me the name for my business. And he was like, what is it? And I told him. And I said, which one do you think I should choose? He said, Magically Rooted just sounds pretty. But he said, you deal with your ancestors on a day-to-day basis. So I said, okay. And so I added Apothecary at the end of it. And that's how I changed the name to my business to Ancestrally Rooted Apothecary. And like I said, I had pulled some cards a few months prior. And the Nine of Pentacles came out.
What?
And
blessings.
Yeah. And on that particular card, it was a black lady with all white on. I always wear white. And she had herbs hanging around her. And I just started writing down all these words that I was hearing. And I wrote down apothecary. I'm like, wait, I'm not even quite sure what an apothecary is. So I had to Google it, but I heard it. Wow. And so when I read what an apothecary was, I put that in my brain. I said, okay. And then months later is when I had the dream, Ancestrally Rooted, and I added Apothecary to it. So that's how the name came to me. And so basically what my business is all about is I sell herbs. Mm-hmm. I cultivate herbs in different teas and smoke blends. And I'm coming out with a tincture line this summer because I'm a tincture girl.
Tell us about what is tincture. Okay. I mean, I know what a tincture is, but you know.
For the people that don't know. So tincture is basically, is a strong concentrated medicine using herbs and the menstruum, aka the liquid that pulls out the nutrients from the herb is generally alcohol. Mm-hmm. But you could use apple cider vinegar and you could also use vegetable glycerin. Mm-hmm. But to me, in my opinion, to get the most out of the herb, you use alcohol.
And Everclear.
So I use, actually, you can use Everclear.
Get turned.
You be trying to get turned up and healthy at the same time.
My liver hurt, y'all.
I know, bad. But, okay. Yeah, you can use Everclear.
Oh, okay.
And but I choose to use brandy because it tastes better.
Oh, that's kind of New Orleansy.
It is. Okay.
Yeah, brandy is a big drink, especially to give to New Orleans spirits.
Mm-hmm. That's probably why I'm led to use it then.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, so that's my favorite alcohol beverage of choice. When I make my medicine, to me it tastes good and it's just make the medicine go down easier. Mm. So I'm a tincture girl. I say that because I drink herbal teas and do the smoke blends and stuff. But I also homeschool the kids, my husband and I, and do the business and, you know, clean up, you know, do other stuff. So I really don't have time to drink tea and just sit and just drink it. So, for me, tincture is so easy to drop like 20 drops in like an ounce of water. Take it. You know you're getting your medicine for the day, your herbs and your nutrients and stuff, and just keep it moving.
Wow. So, I love it. So, do you feel like plants, like, speak to you?
Yeah. You haven't been in my dining room yet where I have my little oasis. I got to show you. But I love plants. Like, I grew up, my mama had, like, plants all over the house, and she say, you always destroy my plants, but I thought they was pretty, but by me being like two or three, I didn't know I was breaking them. I just wanted to touch them. So I love plants. I love going in nature, and I like talking to the trees and stuff and just sitting and just being. So, and years ago, I felt like I was supposed to be an herbalist, but like I said, I didn't know what it was. I thought you had to like be certified and stuff, but come to find out you don't.
Wow.
In the United States, you don't have to be certified. Anybody could call. You could be an herbalist if you said it.
What?
Yeah. Only thing you have to know is, like, know what you're doing, of course. You don't want to hurt anybody. But it's not like you have to go to college or anything. You just do a lot of studying and trial and error and stuff. But I've always been attracted to plants and herbs and supplements and vitamins. That's just something I've always done.
That's so cool. I mean, I think that was a big skill for our ancestors when they came over here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just trying to figure out what plants to work with in the woods.
Yeah.
And then, I've always heard that. I would definitely say, I think since I have used so many dried herbs, I'm trying to get more into using, like, live herbs. Because that is kind of like a different relationship.
Yeah, it is.
I'm kind of, like, used to a lot of urban witchery where it's just like, you know, go to the store, get your dried hyssop, and, your dried chamomile and all that kind of stuff. But
and that's my goal one day to, because I really don't have room right now where we live to have a garden. Mm-hmm. But I want one day to have ancestrally rooted farm. So,
Put it out there. Anybody trying to sponsor?
Exactly.
With a bag, yeah. With a bag.
Yes, exactly. But I want to grow my own herbs, like, because right now I do use dry herbs and some live herbs too. But they all live, but you know. But I would love to, like, grow, like, everything I use, like elderberry, rosemary, ginger, all that. But I need a farm, y'all, so, you know.
Period. Someday, who knows?
Right.
So what are some of your favorite herbs?
Oh, I love burdock root. Mm. I love ginger. I love peppermint. It tastes so good. And it helps me with my headaches. I love red raspberry leaf. It helps me with my period. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm loving blue vervain. It helps me. It helps to it's good for your nervous system and good for nervous exhaustion. Mm-hmm. So when you're tired and can't wind down, it's good to take. Mm-hmm. And so I took some of that Friday and I took a nap and I slept. I said, damn, it's today's Saturday. I woke up. I said, it's today's Saturday. But it was still Friday night, but I love
it. Oh, shit. That's really something.
You want some? I got
not...
some in there.
Hell yeah. For sure, after the show. Please. So what is it like being like an herbalist in Georgia?
Oh, yeah.
ATL.
It's beautiful because we have so much stuff down here. Like, I love going in the woods and just looking and seeing. Like, I have a plant identifier on my phone so I could just take a picture of the plant and it'll tell you what it is and stuff like that. And I save it and I come home and look it up and read about it and stuff like that. So I love, like, going plant walking with my kids and my husband, let them play with the acorns and pick those, and going to the river and looking at, like, different leaves and flowers and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's great. I love it. Like, my husband thought about, well, he said he wants to move to Vegas, but I'm like, I don't want to leave.
Desert.
Yeah, I don't want to leave Georgia with all the trees and stuff down here. So I love it.
Wow. So what is it like being an herbalist and having a family? What are some ways that you're teaching your kids stuff that... Well, did you grow up being an herbalist? I don't know.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
I didn't. Okay, so I have, like, a lot of siblings. I have 6 sisters and 1 brother.
Yeah.
So, but my mom always tell me, You my special child. You different. Oh. You this. I'm the one with all the tattoos and you know, I we wasn't very religious, but I did go to church a lot when I was little with my grandparents and stuff. My grandma was the mother of the church and my granddaddy was a deacon. So I grew up doing that. But I also want to read about my horoscope too. You know what I'm saying? But I felt guilty because they teach you that that's wrong when you in church. But I was like, when we got a computer, I would go and sneak out there and say, what's going on for November 23rd birthdays? You know what I'm saying? So I grew up doing that. So I always knew I was different and into, like, not dark stuff, but like tarot cards and stuff like that. And magic and manifestations and moon cycles and stuff like that. So that's what I didn't grow up doing that in the open, but I did it. Like, I would get books and read about it and stuff like that. But I've only been studying herbs for like 2 years, but I love it. Like, when I say my prayers, I'd be like, oh, thank you for my herbs. Thank you for letting me know about this and giving me this gift.
So when did you start reading tarot? What was your first tarot deck?
Very first, okay, so I think it was 2016 because I was still pregnant. And we had went to this store in Atlanta called Phoenix and Dragon. And they sell, like, everything, metaphysical, tarot cards, crystals, all of that, books, all that. And so my very first tarot deck is the, I forgot the name of it. Dang it, it's called the Goddess Tarot or something that. Yeah, with all the different goddesses and stuff like that, Isis and all that.
Oh, that's
And I got it because the front cover was Maat. And I studied comedic yoga. And I said, oh, look at my art. Can I have that, babe? And he was like, sure. And he bought it for me.
What?
But I didn't know how to... That sat on my nightstand for months. But I just wanted it because I saw my art on it. Mm. But I came into my gift of like being able to read cards and energy and feel energy and stuff like that in 2019. So when I figured that out through my dreams, I picked up that deck that he bought me and I started reading then. Yeah.
That's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
So then what are some of your favorite spots to go forage for like plants and herbs?
I don't really go to that many places. I love right where I'm at, like, what's the name of that river? I'm gonna just say Evans Mill. This is where I stay. I love to go in the woods over here and stuff like that. So this summer, you know, since the pandemic and stuff, we haven't really done much. But this summer we outside, so I do want to go.
Yeah.
I do want to go explore different forests, you know, besides the one by my house.
Yeah.
But right now, Evans Mill and what's the other trail we go to is Arabia Mountain. That we like to go to as well. So I like to look at foliage over there as well.
Oh, okay. That's what's up.
Mm-hmm.
So then, is Kiara Yogini your yoga name from doing comedic yoga?
Yes. So I came up with Kiara Yogini because, well, Kiara is my name. And I got certified in comedic yoga in 2016.
Mm.
And so that's a whole story in itself why I... Wow. Chose to do yoga. Yoga saved my life. Yoga helped. Yoga helped. Okay, so I was overweight, 218 pounds, first of all. Mm-hmm. And then me and my husband got married in 2012, and I couldn't get pregnant. And so the doctors wanted to put me on all kind of medicine, and they did, and it made me sick. Like, my ovaries was hurting, and I was bleeding like something had... stab me, you know, and I'm like, it shouldn't be this hard to get pregnant. So I stopped taking all the medicine, and a guy I went to high school with kept inviting me out to this yoga class. I'm like, man, I ain't finna do that. But he kept asking me, so I'm like, all right, let me go on and go so he could leave me alone. But when I but when I went, I met so many beautiful people, and one of my friends to this day, Kameen, he still teaches at the same place. And when I met him and I saw the class and I participated, and I love how great I felt afterwards. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole week after the class, I felt so good. And I'm like, damn, I want to keep doing this. And so every Sunday, I would just keep going to the park doing yoga, and it changed my life. So I started doing yoga for up to 8 hours a day.
8 hours a day?
I ain't had no kids. I had
Who were you doing? Just like in a handstand, like perpetual handstand?
I was doing them too. Yeah, I was.
Walk in like, hey, here, you're like on a handstand, go to the bathroom, still in the same handstand.
Hey, my husband, we have two boys from his previous marriage, and they was older. So they will be in school, and my husband will be at work. So I'd be at home doing yoga, and it just helped me to lose weight. It changed my consciousness. It made me want to eat healthier. You know, and when I just started focusing on that every day, my body just healed itself.
Wow.
And so that's when I started. That's when I got into like talking to the moon, like, it's a full moon. And nobody never told me this, like, you can manifest and stuff. I just intuitively felt like, it's a full moon. Let me go out there and talk to the moon and ask for what I want, you know? And so,
You ask for a baby?
I did.
Wow.
I asked for my body to be healed, and I asked for a baby, and I detoxed my body, detoxed my womb of all of my past relationships and stuff.
How do you detox your womb?
So, the
yoni egg.
The yoni egg.
Wow.
You know what?
You use that. I know about the yoni eggs.
Because I used them. And my ass got pregnant with the thing inside of me, too.
Girl. We need to rated R.
This is grown so folk conversation.
Wow.
Yeah, like, okay, I used the Yoni pearls first. What? You heard of those where you put the Yoni pearl up there and it detox your uterus.
Lord God. Wow. I have heard of that. My friend Brianna, the moon goddess.
I think I heard of her.
She's on IG. She does that kind of stuff. I had heard about it before, too.
Yeah.
I also be telling people in their readings they need to cleanse their yoni. It comes up.
Yeah.
But their ancestors would be like, I mean, because, you know, I don't know anything about that, but, you know.
But now, though.
The yoni egg, the crystal,
mm-hmm.
was helping, like, I guess, like, helping with the frequency. Because
there's
chakras down there and stuff,
too. I healed my root chakra. My first yoni egg was a red jasper. And then I got a carnelian. I was using, I was using crystals all the time. So I got a green adventurine.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah, I was trying to manifest some money and the damn baby got up there instead.
Oh!
I was like, we need some money.
General attraction. Well, you know, E5 babies are prosperity.
Right. Apparently. So that happened. So I was like, okay.
And what kinds of herbs were you using?
I wasn't using herbs at the time.
Oh.
I can't remember what was inside the yoni.
You were just doing yoga.
I was just doing yoga.
That was more than 2 years ago.
Yeah, I was just doing yoga.
Wow.
All day. And I changed my diet. I stopped eating meat. Stopped eating dairy.
Wow, maybe the hormones and stuff too. Because I know a lot of women get fibroid tumors.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, she had a fibroid. Well, a lot of people get the hysterectomies and
stuff. My mama got one. And my sister. And I said, I ain't finna get rid of my uterus. I want my body parts.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So then how long, you still do comedic yoga, I guess,
mm-hmm.
huh?
Yeah.
And what makes it comedic?
So my master instructor, Master Yasir Rahotep, he coined the term comedic yoga back in the 70s he was taught by his master instructor, Dr. Asar Hapi. So that's how they came up with comedic yoga. So, I got certified under him. And so what makes it comedic yoga is he uses different, like, if you go to the pyramids in ancient Kemet, you would see the hieroglyphs of the different people on the pyramid. And the white people be like, oh, they're just doing things, but they're dancing. And he was like, no, they're not dancing. Those are comedic yoga poses. So, she like everybody.
Hey, kitty.
My cat over here, y'all. Kitty. She loves Beyonce.
Hey, kitty. Hello, man.
She is so nosy.
Kitty, kitty. Hey. What's up? Anyway. So crazy. They were doing yoga in the hieroglyphs.
Yeah, but the white people say they was dancing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it's almost like it could be like capoeira.
That's what they were saying, yeah. But my master instructor believed that they was doing actual comedic yoga poses.
Wow, that's deep.
So, yeah, so he made comedic yoga based off of the hieroglyphs. So that's what that is.
That is so cool.
And he also believed that is, because a lot of people feel like yoga predates, it comes from India. But he feels like comedic yoga predates Indian yoga.
It's from Africa.
It's from Africa. Everything comes from the motherland.
That's what I have totally heard.
Yeah.
The 1970s was really prolific with that kind of
Black power.
Black power. Mm-hmm. Integrationists. So that's really cool. So then what sparked your interest in E5? How did you get into that?
Okay. So back when I was teaching comedic yoga on the west side of Atlanta, I had a dream. I'm a big dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
So I dreamed about, at the time I didn't know that it could be Oshun, but I dreamed that it was a lady in my kitchen with some bees. So I'm like, okay. And so that day I woke up and I had a client. And so I knew she was a part of E5, and I really didn't even know what E5 was, but I told her about my dream and she was like, oh, she kind of blew it off. Oh, a lot of people have dreams like that. They don't necessarily mean that it was Oshun or whatever. I said, okay. And that was back in 2016, 2017. So fast forward to 2021, 2020, I had my first Ifa reading. And because I just didn't want to let anybody read me. I knew that she was legit. She was recommended to me by someone that is a Ianifa. So she said she's good, you know, she'll steer in the right direction. I said, okay. So my first reading, it was a great reading, but it never said I had to get initiated or anything. I just had a great reading. But I think I used to let her read me on my birthday. So I think it was my birthday or a New Year's reading. It finally came up that Ifa said that you should get initiated. I said, okay, I didn't know what it was, so I'm like, I'm not finna do anything. I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So, and plus, you know, some Baba Laos, I, you know, can't be trusted. So I'm like, I'm not finna just go to anybody, you know. Yeah. And so I didn't know who to go to here in Atlanta. But I was minding my business, child, last summer, and I went to sleep, and my master instructor's daughter, she's a yay, and I hadn't seen her since 2018. This is 2022. I went to sleep, and she came to me in my dream and handed me a white dress and said, never go backwards, always go forward. And I woke up. I was like, so I texted her. I said, I inboxed her on Facebook. I said, can I call you? She was like, sure, because I hadn't talked to her since 2018 after my daughter was born. I don't even think she was born yet. I was pregnant. And so she said, yeah, you could call me. So I called her and I told her what my dream was. And she said, you know what? A lot of times the ancestors would come to you. Because I was like, I'm not interested in Ifa. I'm fucking with my own ancestors. I don't know nothing about all that. She was like, no, you need to answer the call. They showed you that dream for a reason. So come to the LA Thursday and we'll go from there. And that was September of 2022. And I just took my time. I think I got my hand of Ifa after 6 months. And I just wanted to learn and figure out if this is what I want to do. I wanted to make sure the people I was around was trustworthy. I wanted to make sure that Baba was cool. You know what I'm saying? And he is. And so the people in LA is cool. So that's when I got my hand of Ifa in March.
Wow. Y'all are so welcoming, too. That was my first time.
I love them.
Being at another temple outside of New Orleans.
So. Yeah, they cool, ain't they?
So it was really cool. I loved it. Yeah. I'm definitely going to be back.
Yeah, Ifa Tarishe Temple in Atlanta, y'all.
Ashe. So I know that you're called, you like to, one of your names is Kiara Yogini. Yes. But can you tell us about your Ifa name, Ifa Ori-ire?
Yes. So, like I just said, I've dealt with anxiety for a long time. And so Ifa, when you came to my hand of Ifa ceremony, in my Odu that came up was Otura Ori-ire, and that's also my name. And I just felt like it was so fitting that Ifa would have that to come out like that when I deal with anxiety. So I feel that's very powerful. That's why I wanted to include that into my business as well.
And yeah, your Ori can definitely, I guess, like, feeding your Ori, all that kind of stuff.
Feeding my Ori and praying to my Ori, because your Ori is your first deity. Like, no Orisha is going to help you, but your Ori, until you, you know, pray to your Ori and feed your Ori. So you have to honor your Ori first before you expect other deities to help you. Have your first deity help you first.
I love it. Ashe. Yogini, Ifa,
Ori-ire. Yes.
That's what's up. So what are some of your future plans besides the farm?
So my tension line is coming out in June, I think. I have to make sure, because tinctures take a while to set up. You have to let them sit for a while.
Do you start them at a certain time?
I did. I started this batch I have now. I started it last week, so it'll be done by June. But I want my shit to be right, you know what I'm saying? Be potent, so I don't want to rush it, so I'm giving it 8 weeks. Around mid-June, they should be out. No later than the 1st of July.
So that's 4 moon cycles.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you start them on certain days or anything?
No. I just start them. I do a lot of intuitive-led things. So I just, first of all, I hear what I have to do. Like, I hear what kind of medicine I need to make or take. So I heard which ones I needed to take and make for the tincture. So those are the ones I have. Wow. Yeah.
That's what's up. And then so, and what kind of tinctures did you say those are going to be?
So I have elderberry tincture. Yeah. And so that's my favorite. I take elderberry every day. I have a couple other ones, but I didn't want to tell everybody. So I will let y'all know I have ginger. That's one of them. So ooh, elderberry and ginger. Potent. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Well, are there any things that you want the audience to know?
Yes, y'all could, if you all are interested in trying some smoke blends and teas, I have anti-anxiety and smoke blends because anxiety is, I'm not going to say a big part of my life, but it's something I've dealt with for a long time. And so I'm all about healing myself naturally if I can. So I do have anti-anxiety teas and smoke blends on my website at ancestrallyrootedapothecary.com. And also I do readings with my oracle card. So if you would like to get a reading, also hit up my website as well.
What an amazing interview. Well, thank you for listening. As I mentioned in the church announcements, share the newsletter, whitelist my contact information so that it doesn't go to spam. We're about to be getting it in with these newsletters. Get that information. Sign up for Foundations of New Orleans and Mississippi Hoodoo to get your life right. For folks who identify as Black, and if you're looking for a foundation for your hoodoo practice and information, historical information, information for different spell work, information just on hoodoo in general, centered around arguably some of the most sacred and special spots for hoodoo, put hoodoo on the map, New Orleans and Mississippi. So yeah, that's it. Peace and blessings. Love y'all.